Okay, I'm going to move on. I want to introduce, you've already met Alan and Lizzie and Carl before, but I want to introduce Mel. For those of you who don't know, this is Alan Cox and Lizzie. And we were talking in our leadership group this week, just telling a little bit of sort of the story of the last 10 years, and just realizing afresh how grateful we are and how influential Alan has been to us. Probably it's longer than 10 years, isn't it? It must be about 2001 or 2002, Alan started coming to us. And most of that is kind of behind the scenes. And it's conversations that Alan has with Colin or myself or the leaders or and other people. And it's been incredibly helpful. His input, his insight, his challenge, his provocation, his encouragement. And we're just incredibly grateful for all that Alan has brought over the years. And Lizzie's come up a few times too. It's lovely to have Lizzie with us. And over the last few years, we've had Carl Wills come as well with Alan. And this time, it's wonderful that Mel, just there, his wife, this first time, I think, is it your first time in Scotland? First time in Scotland, there you go. She doesn't know what she's been missing, eh? So it's lovely to have those. And these folks here, and we are so much richer for their contribution and perspective. And one of the things that I was just thinking about this visit in particular is that we so need the apostolic and the prophetic that lifts our sight and our vision to Jesus afresh and helps us to see something that perhaps in most of life we don't see with our natural eyes. And so Alan kind of comes with that apostolic gift, and we receive him apostolically, and has helped us to be so more strategic and focused around what we're trying to do. But we also receive Carl and Lizzie and Mel prophetically, which those two things working together, and we read in the scriptures that it's that foundation of the apostolic and the prophetic that builds the church. And so that's one of the reasons that we receive these guys. And so if some of what happens doesn't make much sense or it's a bit new to you, that's okay. Come and let's talk and ask some questions. But we need that perspective that lifts us up to see Jesus and to see what's happening with angels and all that kind of stuff that maybe we don't think about a lot of the time, but helps us become the church that we're meant to be. And so could we give a really warm welcome to Alan, Lizzie, Carl and Mel?
Okay. Yeah. I love coming to Edinburgh. It's great to be here. You know you're a great church. Yeah? You are a great... Look, turn to the person next to you and say, we are a great church. Yeah, yeah. Come on, you are a great church. In fact, can I ask you to do something more? Can you just turn to the person next to you and say, you are amazing? It's important we actually speak out to one another what it is that God thinks about us. And that's what he thinks about us. He thinks you're a great church and he thinks you're amazing. He really does. Okay? One or two, you're not so sure, but you are. You are amazing. And we need to live in that much, much more. He's not here with a pointing finger saying, what have you done? He's here with that smile on his face, as we talked about earlier. He just delights over you. He delights over each one of us in a wonderful way. I'm actually going to ask Carl in a minute to come and share. He's got a word that I believe is for you. We've asked him to come and speak to you. And I think it's a significant word for you to take hold of. But like Peter, you can sort of be in the wrong position to hear something sometimes. But Peter had that encounter at the end of John. We read about how Jesus said, you love me. And that informed, for me, I believe, it informs what we read in 2 Peter chapter 1, where it says, it is his divine power. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And it goes on. And there is an encounter that Peter has that changes everything. And he realizes that God accepts him, God loves him, and actually it's through that that he can enter into all that God has for him. Then he says in verse 5, in view of this, make every effort. And for me, I think God wants you to position yourself in a different way to how you might have been. If you're catching a bus, you don't sort of sit in here waiting for the bus to arrive. You go out and wait at the bus stop. And when the bus comes, you put your hand out, or at least I do, hoping that they'll stop, and then you get on the bus. It's important that we position ourselves in the way that we believe that we to receive what it is that God has for us. So if we believe that God is smiling on us, what's the position for us? Is actually to smile back. Okay? That's what he's looking for, is that smile. He's desperate for us to return that gaze and smile at him. If he's here because he wants to change and transform you, then be in a changed, transformed state that you can have that. I believe God is here to bring healing. So be in a position yourself for healing, because he's going to release healing even as we've worshiped together. He's releasing that. But we need to position ourselves in a way to receive. I think sometimes we turn, like Rupert was saying at the beginning, we turn away when actually he just wants us to turn to him. So as we hear Carl in a second, let's just position ourselves for all that God has for us. And we just want to bless you in the best possible way. So Carl, can you come on out? And can I just ask you to do something which is probably not very Scottish, but can you just say, Carl, you're amazing.
Oh. So I didn't hear that. Can you do it again?
Go on, do it again. Carl, you're amazing. I really appreciate Carl. He steps into things which we all need to step into. So just position yourself to step into whatever Carl has for you today. All right? Yeah. Carl.
Cheers, Al. That's all right. I've got a hands-free. Look at this. Do you know, I just noticed that Colin and I are wearing the same shirt. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I got mine in a charity shop just the other day. Amazing, isn't it? It's really good to be here, to be an Englishman in Scotland today. What was the score?
You might get stoned straight away.
It's worth it. After the in France. I promise you, it will get better for you. You've always got Italy, so you've got a chance.
That hole is just getting bigger and bigger.
I want to see how deep I can dig. Wasn't that amazing morning, eh? I love it when Jesus walks in and angels appear. And this invitation to turn that Rupert said right at the beginning, because I actually believe this, that we have an opportunity to, when he walks in, for us to experience what the Shunammite lady experienced in Song of Solomon's 2, when she's in a winter of discontent, where it's like everything around her is failing. There is no hope for her. And yet he comes. And it's amazing how he can come bounding over the hills and just says, arise. Because he's safe. He's good. And he can step into your darkness, step into your troubles and say, arise, my beautiful one. For the spring has come. Isn't it amazing that the God that Daniel talks about, that can determine the times and the seasons of your life, can walk into your life today, no matter where you're at, and say, arise, it's time to come. It's time to come out of the darkness, for the spring has come. The winter of discontent is over. Can you hear? Can you smell? Can you feel? I've seen Jesus do that 1,000 times. I've seen him do it 1,000,000 times, and I long to see it again and again and again, because it's him that can walk into your life and in a moment change the times and the seasons of your life. Because he believes in the eternity that he's set in your hearts. And I'm convinced of this, that he is a God that cannot change his mind about you. If he truly formed you, if he truly made you, whilst you're in your mother's womb, he put you together, how then can he then change his mind about you? Because it's what he's put within you that draws you. And I feel today, with what Lizzie was bringing and others were bringing, that we can come out of a winter of discontent today. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Anybody want to step out of a winter of discontent? Why don't you just stand a minute? Now I've got you, put your hands up. See, I lured you then, didn't I? It's great. Because I believe it's possible. This isn't on my notes, by the way. I just feel we've got an opportunity to hit a home run today. Because he's come for you. You see, Jesus, it says, is the pearl of great price. He's worth giving everything up for. But let me tell you this. He is the pearl. But let me tell you, you are his magnificent obsession. You are what it's all about. You're the reason he came. He was desperate to reveal himself to you. And I'm just going to ask the Holy One to come. The one that can walk into your time and in your space today and change the time and the season that you're in. Because I believe that he wants to pull you not into a new season, but a new era of your life. It's like from this point, everything changes. From this point, you will see things like you've never seen them before. From this point, the promises that have been spoken and spoken and spoken will no longer just be promises that remain in the ether, but we come and we become and we become people of fulfilled promise. I declare a new era over your life. I declare that the winter of discontent will be broken now in your life. And like Rupert said right at the beginning, I want you to imagine this. I want you to imagine turning aside from all that has troubled you in this time and this season and dare to look in the face of God. And let him whisper your name. Let him whisper your name. Let him come. Let the Holy One come. He's in the business of encounter. There's people here, and it's just like your finances just slip through your hands, and no matter how much you try, to put your house in order, it's like every month, from month to month to month, it just gets harder and harder. Just let him come. Let him come. Those thoughts of suicide that Colin spoke about. Let him take that stuff off you now. It says of Sarah in Hebrews 11 that she judged God and found him to be faithful. All she had were the promises of God. And it says that those promises strengthened her. And the word strength in Scripture means miracle. Because the miracle of God strengthened her. It's the miracle. It's the miracle. It's the miracle that you need here today for your situation. And let me tell you, he's in the business of miracles. How is it a woman that bleeds for 12 years? Imagine this, she bleeds for 12 years. At the end of her tether, everything gone. Suddenly, he walks in. And it says this, that she pushed through the crowd. Just imagine this, she pushed through the crowd, it says, and she touched the hem of his garment. Now listen this. To touch the hem of her garment, of Jesus' garment, she must have crawled along the ground because the hem with the tassels, the blue tassels that represented healing, she would have crawled along the ground. You see, when all hope's gone, you'll do anything you can to embrace hope. She crawled along the ground. I tell you what she was doing. She was crawling over her history to reach her destiny. Because this is about your destiny. This is about the call and the gifting of God within your life. And he wants to hit this home today. So come, Holy One, come. We declare the winter has passed, for the spring has come. Arise, arise, the man in blue at the back with the jumper on. Arise, 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 arise. My beautiful one, arise. You've been a man of destiny since you were 16 years of age. God was beginning to form in you who you are today. And you were meant to be a man that brought success. And here's the thing, it's because you were to bring success to other people. And I declare over you success, because you can handle this. You can handle what it is to have success. Just let him come, let the Holy One come. He is pulling you right now out of a season that's been going on for the last 4 and a bit years, and it is a bit, but he's breaking that over you right now, because it's going to take the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and that's where you thought that was lost over you. Just let it come. Let it come. Let the Holy One come and anoint you again, because I tell you something, you are anointed for the purposes of God, and what has slipped through your hands will no longer slip through your hands. Because there is more responsibility and more success to come for you. It is far from over, because the fat lady ain't singing over you yet, young man. I tell you that. Just let it come. Let the anointing break the yoke over your life. Because it's been about the anointing for you. It's been about the anointing. You were discounted yourself over the last 4 years. Well, I want to say that's a lie from the enemy. So let it come. Let it come. Touch his hands, Alan, because God's going to fill his hands. Fill his hands again. Fill his hands. Who came? Did anybody come with this man? Or is he on his own today? He's on his own. Just let him come. God is faithful. At the beginning of this year, I had a visitation from the Lord, and I said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? And I'm not into year things, but he said this. He said, you've got to start telling my people that I'm faithful. And there is something about the people that are standing and sitting in this room today. You need to know that God is faithful. Because it's about his faithfulness. We have to be people that are walking in the faithfulness of God. Because people need to know that he's faithful. That he doesn't let us down. He doesn't betray us. To be Christ-like, what would be Christ-like be for you? Do you know what it would be? It would be to be faithful. And you are faithful. You're a faithful man. God trusts you. And do you understand that where he positions you, you show the faithfulness of God so much? Not a lot needs to change for you other than you to walk into the man that you are. It oozes out of you. This isn't prophetic, this is just obvious. Because you're a faithful man. Just hold your hands out. Say, what's your name?
Ben.
Ben, I know a Ben. That's a great name. It's a good name. Why don't we reach our hands towards Ben? Why do we do this, by the way? All I know is it works, doesn't it? It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know how we got into this charismatic thing, but it's...
I'm sure it's somewhere in the scripture.
It must be in there somewhere, Rupert. Find it quick. Ben, when it describes Jesus in Revelation that he comes on the white horse, it says, there he is, true and faithful. Let me tell you this, Ben, the hallmark of your life. When others will seek other things of Jesus, when others will want to be Christ-like in all other ways, let me tell you this, you are faithful. And you bring a security to people. You bring a friendship of God, a kindness of God into people's lives. Is your wife here?
She is.
Is that the woman? Why don't you stand? This is a real partnership made in heaven, isn't it? You see, people face barrenness in 100 different ways. And you're going to show the people that have experienced barrenness in 100 different ways that God is faithful. Faithful to his promises, man. Be a man that is driven by his promises. Be a man that is overwhelmed by his promises. Be a man that will only take steps of faith because God has promised. I declare faithfulness of the Father over you. And I want to say to you today, whatever you need, in this moment today, you have an opportunity to say, hey, Dad, hey, Dad. And listen, let it go deep. Let it touch the parts that have hurt in the past, but let it go deep here this morning and say, Father, just like Sarah, we prove you to be faithful to us. And you're going to reveal the faithfulness of the Father to so many people. Listen, let me tell you something, young lady. When you pray, when you speak out, when you prophesy, God will back you up to the hilt. Because you are going to be a woman of answered prayer. Come on, girl. This couple are in a unique place, a unique time for them. God just wants to do some business. I don't know where we're going to go yet this morning. How long have we got, Rupert, just so I know?
Well, ten? Half past six or something.
Half past six, we're on. I just don't think he's finished. If you can sit if you want, or keep standing. Man with the glasses who just sat down. I don't know why you sat down. You can stand again. You got the cool, you man. The checkered shirt, the black man there. Just stand. Good man. I have to ask, can you see? Or are they... a fashion accessory? You can't see. Let me tell you, I had to ask. Because I wish I had your sight. I wish I had what you could see. I wish I could have what you feel. I release a sight to this man, both physically and spiritually, that will blow his brains in this time of his life. This man who has discovered depths and heights and widths of God that are extraordinary. A man who could be an incredible storyteller of his love for Jesus. What's your name, sir?
David,
what a well, there's a name, eh? Isn't that great? I bet you fought some lions in your day. So, Father, we pray blessing, a new season, a new era over David's life. A man who, if it wasn't for him, others couldn't follow. If it wasn't for him, others wouldn't follow. Can you stand? You together?
Yes.
Good man. There we go. What's your name?
Fanny.
Father, I thank you that they're here today. For David and Fanny, that they're here today. That through this couple, Father, that the lonely will be set in families. Father, that people will belong. That these guys will reach inside people's destinies and release them as they spend time with them. Man, you've got a lot of patience, David. God has done an amazing eternal work in you that is extraordinary. Man, you should be singing from the hilltops, man. Amen. You should be letting your voice go. Because you've seen things that other people only dream about. Yes. Don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, you do. He's... So Holy One, just come. He is trouble. A good trouble though. Takes one trouble to know one. So Holy One, just come. fill them afresh, fill them anew in this hour. You see, because God can't change his mind about anybody, when Jacob, the schemer and the liar, was on the run, what's God's response to a schemer and a liar? Do you know what it is? It's to show him his destiny. Because God believes this: if he reveals destiny, it'll capture our hearts one day. Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing to be used by God to grab hold of people that are on the run, who don't believe in themselves, who don't believe anything good can come from their lives? And sometimes he has to position individuals that come across their path so that they can have an opportunity to change. You have a huge capacity, my friend. A huge capacity. Why don't you stand a minute? What's your name?
Malcolm.
That's a Scottish name. I got a friend called Malcolm. Well, it's Gordon Malcolm, but it's close. When you hold your hands out, Malcolm, have you got a beautiful spirit? Wow. Soft heart. Wow. God will constantly put you in the path of other people. Constantly, Malcolm. Because here's the thing with you. You just got to know today that you know. Sometimes you beat yourself up too much, my friend. You just got to know that the love of God has captured your life. You got to know that you have a huge capacity to carry this love of God around in you. Because God wants to constantly place you before people who need to experience that. Because they're on the run. They're running away from life. They're running away from responsibility. They're trapped. You together? He's a cool guy, isn't he? He chose well. What's your name?
Lucy.
Why don't you stand, Lucy? Father, we thank you for this couple. We thank you, Lord, that you're a magnificent God, that you're a magnificent Father, a Father who never fails, a Father who never lets us down. And Father, I pray for this couple today for a fresh sight, fresh encounter with you, that this man will be like Paul and just grab hold of all that Christ Jesus has grabbed hold of him for. And he's grabbed hold of you hard, Malcolm, because men like you don't come around that often. Men like you that have had this amazing culture change within come around once in a blue moon. And it's time for you, Malcolm, to take your place. It's time for you to step into all that God has for you. You're the real deal, my friend. You're really what it's all about. So come on, Malcolm, come on. You grab hold today and he won't let you down. He won't fail you. Because you're going to see lives of thousands of people changed. And it really is thousands. People encountering the living God through you. And you will become an amazing teacher of men. An amazing teacher of men. An amazing man that is able to bring understanding into the lives of men. Because they need to meet a man with a soft heart. A man with a soft heart and pure hands. They need to meet this man. They need to meet a man of peace. A man even at a young age that can father people into the kingdom of God. And you're moving from a big brother to a father today, I believe. You are moving from being just a big brother to being a servant, to being a friend and a father in God today. So we declare fatherhood over you In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it over you. For all that that would mean to you and Lucy today, wherever that will take you in this amazing life that you're about to live, he grabs hold of you. Grabs hold of you. So let him come. Let him come. Let him come. God's going deep here today. You see, when we're family, this stuff happens. Doesn't it? Because everything's possible when we're family. Wow. Do you know, there used to be a song out when I was in when I first born again, Showers of Blessings. Do you remember it? And I pray showers of blessings upon this couple. The faithfulness of the Father. Isn't that good? That'd be good. He takes hold of the Jacobs and shows them their destiny. And that's why, just a man at the back there, you. What's your name? Yeah, you. Malcolm. Anybody not called Malcolm here today? Hey, there we go. Malcolm, I know a Malcolm. Why don't you stand, Malcolm? See, you're just impossible to grab hold of sometimes. You know, I mean, I think there's a similarity between me and you, because people say, who are you like in the Bible? And you get people, I'm like Jesus, yeah, you're not that good, you know, all that sort of thing. And I say to people, well, really, I'm like Jacob, because I love Jacob, because he was just out of the box. He was ahead of the game. He was streetwise. And I think you're like that. And I want to tell you today, you can't outrun him. And I tell you something, he's going to wrestle you. And he's going to wrestle you for the rest of your life, because he loves to wrestle with you. Because he knows you get it when he wrestles with you. You get all that stuff. But let me tell you this. Out of Jacob, a nation was birthed. Out of Jacob, a nation was birthed. What if, Malcolm? What if out of you, a generation was birthed? A generation was born into the power of God that was running and scheming, didn't know of his existence, and then they come to you. What if God had chosen you, Malcolm, to lead a generation into a knowledge and understanding of God? What if it meant that you had to be on the street corners? What if it meant that you had to go where no one else would go? What if it meant you had to go into the pubs that no one would dare go in? What if, Malcolm? Because what if out of this Malcolm, a generation was born into God? I think you need to come forward, my friend. Come forward if you can. If you can't, you stay there. We're going to do something prophetic with this. I don't know where we're going with all this. We will get out for lunch because I'm hungry, man. I just want to say this, Malcolm, here. I love your jumper. I'm a crew man. I love it. It's great. It's just down here. How old are you, Malcolm?
34.
You're not. You look 20, man. I bet you get asked for your license, don't you? He wants to wrestle you in front of these people today. Now, I'm going to say something to this. This man, he's had a call on his life all his life to lead a generation into God. And when we talk about generation, it isn't necessarily just 18, 20-year-olds. It's whoever's around on that earth in that time. I really believe that. It's multi-generation when God talks about generation. But let me tell you something. There is something about that 20, 30-year-olds that you're going to grab hold of and pull them out of their pubs and lifestyle and lead them to God. But this man's going to need help, because it begins today. I'm breaking all the rules, sorry. But I believe there's an anointing today for this guy. Because he'll mess around for the rest of his life otherwise and struggle with it all. Because sometimes when we have the call of God, you know, we struggle with the call of God because could it really be me? You know, we kind of get into that thing. Well, let me tell you, it is him. But he's going to need an army. He's going to need some people to go with him. And there are some people here today, they're just feeling in their gut, I want to journey with this man. I'm willing to follow him where he just might take us. If that's you, just come and be part of this now. If he's on his own, well, he's on his own. But if there's one or two, three, four, ten who just feel, this is the guy I want to journey with. This is the guy I'm willing to watch his back. This is the guy I'm willing to go into the places where he's going to take us into. You come up. Anybody else? Anybody from the right? Yeah, you get there. Did you see how he kind of got leveled then? It's just like suddenly it was like, yeah, this is good. But the thing is, you've believed in this. And I tell you something, if you hadn't have believed, he ain't going to get this opportunity. Because you know it goes up and down. Just the nature of the thing. Anybody else before we pray? Anybody else just feeling inside thinking, I could just live a bit dangerously with this guy? Because it is going to live dangerously. God's never called you to live a safe life. Listen, when you were worshipping, when he walked in that door today, he came and stood in front of you. You have found something in worship, young girl, that is astounding. You have found this place where only you can go. And you see, you thought it was all imaginary. You thought it was just a place where your mind took you. Let me tell you this. It's a place where you're defined. And you've discovered something of Jesus in the depths of those realms. And I urge you to keep entering into that place. Keep entering into that place because he's ready to take you into new heights and widths. He's ready to show you stuff that he just can't show anybody else. You're a deeply spiritual woman that is connected with Jesus in the most pure and wonderful way. Let him expand his kingdom to you. And let me tell you this, this could take you anywhere you want, to any nation, any town, any city, because he wants adventure with you. He wants an adventure. You're remarkable. You've discovered something beautiful. Keep going into that place. Keep going in. What's your name?
Sandra.
Wow. It's a beautiful place. Beautiful. It's not imaginary. This is the real deal for you, Sandra. Why don't we reach our hands towards Malcolm? Whatever it takes, Malcolm. Sorry, what's your name?
Sarah.
Sarah. For Malcolm and Sarah, whatever it takes, position yourself for a move of God. He totally gets you, Malcolm. He trusts you. Sarah, he gets you. Wouldn't it be amazing if Edinburgh had a move of God? And you were part of it. So I declare over you both, Malcolm and Sarah, that you've been called to set a generation free into the knowledge and understanding of God. And those that surround you, this motley crew, this merry men and women. Don't worry, you don't have to wear tights, Malcolm, or anything like that. Not in public, anyway. So we just pray now for this anointing. You see, we've got to start stepping into that destiny. Because his destiny is your destiny. His breakthrough is your breakthrough. Because it's men and women like this, as they go out there, you've got to get ready to pick them up when they come in here. God's about to mess some stuff up in this place. He's about to turn it all upside down and inside out because he has been cultivating and hiding you and hibernating you for the last decade. And I want to declare that what we've hit here today and what we're seeing in other people's lives and over this couple's life today is about the church. It's time for a new era upon this church. You don't need another season that will come and go. You need a new era. And I want to declare over you that what we're seeing here today is God saying, I'm putting my rubber stamp on this new era. That you're about to enter a new era, the era that which you were born for. As just as we heard Chris sing, it's got to be built upon what God is saying. And I wanted to say to you that God has spoken to you over the years to bring you to this place. And I want to say now that you have now gone beyond the point of no return. To go back will be to die. You have no choice but to press on now and head on into all that Christ has got hold of you for. So this is serious this weekend. It is a new era of this church. It is the destiny being fulfilled. You are a place that loves the presence of God. But let me tell you this. Let me tell you this. If the presence of God is here, then lives will change. You need to get ready. You need to get ready for people to come. Because people are going to come because they're desperate. They need to see something more. They need to experience and encounter God. And for some of it, Malcolm, we need to go out and get them. So we're going to pray now for this new era. That these seven people have signed up for today. So come, Holy Spirit, come. For the Jacob will save a generation. Jacob will save a generation. He will create a new nation within this city. Come, come, come. 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 Nobody beyond, nobody beyond. No no-go areas, Malcolm. Wow. The travellers will come. Some travellers will come and go. But some are going to come and stay. So just come, Holy Spirit, come. Come now. Come now. Let the fire fall. Begin to just let the presence of God begin to wash over every single person in this room right now. Because whether you're part of this church or not, you've stepped into a moment where God is speaking about a new era. And I tell you this, I've been around long enough to know this of God. If you're in the right place at the right time, everything changes. Isn't that good? To be in the right place at the right time. He's going to do that all your life. Keep putting you in the right place at the right time. You need to know it. What's your name?
Stephen Westwater.
You're Stephen. I was waiting for Stephen. I should have said it earlier. As soon as I woke up this morning, God said, there's a Stephen here. Stephen Westwater, stand up. Everybody, this is my friend Stephen. How long have you been here, Stephen?
Just a couple of weeks.
Good man, I like it. What do you want to see, Stephen?
God glorified.
What does that mean to you?
Everyone given Jesus Christ the honour that he deserves.
Yeah. Stephen Westwater, the man in the right place at the right time. Isn't that amazing? You're in the right place at the right time today to hear this. Just give Stephen a round of applause. You can sit down now, Stephen. So how about it? You up for this?
Lives changed for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about him and his spirit. You know, he's the one who changes people. Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Who's in for the new era?
Yeah.
Yes. Sorry, that was too English, man. Come on, who's in for the new era?
Yes.
that's you, we're going to stand. I had a great word, all prepared, written down, it's all gone, it's all Alan's fault. Whenever I'm around Alan and Lizzie, you know, we took them to Norway, and Norway, they're more reserved than the British. And they really are. They are just like, they don't even breathe, you know. And Alan had them, what did you have them up saying? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was just thinking, when Alan got up and said, we believe in Jesus, he's a healer. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking, oh, Alan, don't. Because they won't even respond. But these people came alive. These Norwegians came alive. And they forgot everything else I said. And all they can remember is, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'd like us to do a yeah, yeah, yeah today. Because here's the thing. If we agree, we'll get this. If we agree, it's ours. 10 people robbed a nation of their destiny by saying that the land was full of giants. And 2 blokes said, no, we can have this because he spoke. And I wanted to tell you this morning that this new era, the other side of this going beyond the point of no return, is full of big giants. It's full of battles to face. But I want to tell you that he is faithful to his word. And it doesn't matter how many giants we face. It doesn't matter how many opportunities will come against us. It leaves us so vulnerable that he has to prove himself faithful to us. Why don't we become giant slayers? Why don't we become the people that say no, because God's spoken, I can do this. And you're a giant slayer. You're a man that won't take no for an answer. You're a man that God is cultivating in to say, there's a wonderful verse in Scripture that says this, if I had not believed, I wouldn't have seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And we've heard about the faithfulness of God this morning. And I want to declare a man of faith that stands before me this morning. Because God is calling you out to be a man of faith. And let me tell you the key of this is because you can only be a man of faith because God has spoken and is speaking. A man that hears. It says of Jesus, he only ever did what he heard or saw. The Father saying, we're doing. Now there's a thing. Where's the risk? Where's the risk if he's spoken? Who are you with? Together. Man. You've got a wonderful gift inside you. You have a real perception. You see, you think you feel things. I want to tell you, you see things. You're ahead of the game, young girl. You're going to be okay at this. Are you up for this?
Yes.
Good man, what's your name?
I'm not Stephen.
Do you know, I love the prophetic, how we just trip into stuff, isn't it? That God spoke about Stephen. We had 2 Malcolms, 2 Stephens. 3 Stephens. Who's the third? Never. I tell you something. See, I have this total belief. Do you know, 101 prophetic, do you know what it is? A blind squirrel gets a nut once in a while. That's the key to the prophetic. And we've got 3 nuts here today. Because when God said to me this morning, Stephen, I wouldn't have believed it. How about it, Stephen? Let me tell you this. It says of the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. In the early translations, it said this, a fruit of the Holy Spirit is faith. Man of faith, woman of faith. He's had his hand on you since you were about 12 years of age. I tell you this now. The moment I saw you as a young 12-year-old girl. And even then, the way you saw things, the way you perceive things, you were ahead of your time. You've had this a long time. So how about it, Stephen? You up for it?
Yes.
Good man. That was a definite yes. Hold your hands out. I love holding my hands out. Great. So you normally have my son here, and when he was little, he picked pockets.
Oh, yes.
So
we've got one of those.
Yeah. It's amazing how you find like-minded people, isn't it? So, Father, why don't we reach our hands towards... This is family time this morning. Towards Stephen and...
Helen.
Father, we pray for this man and woman of faith that what will set them aside is that they will be forever hearing and forever following the voice of God in their lives. That there may be giants in this new era, but because you've spoken, that's enough for them. For this man of faith, just like Caleb, where he had put a different spirit inside Caleb. All your life, Stephen, he's put a different spirit in you from everybody else around you, from your whole family, from your old uncles, from your cousins, he's put a different spirit in you. Because you're going to be a man that tastes and see and know God is good. God is good. Isn't that amazing? So, Father, we pray for CCE, for everyone stood here. Why don't you hold hands if you can? And then we're going to end with this prayer. Because it's important we're holding each other's hands. Because this takes us into areas where we've never gone before, this new era. This has taken us into boundaries where before we thought we could never cross. This has taken us in to take hold of a land of milk and honey that we could have only ever dreamt of. This takes us into an era where bankruptcy seemed the only option, but today it's changed. It seemed like the only option is divorce, but today it changed. It seemed like the only option is separation, but today it changed. It seemed like today the only option is a life of barrenness, but today it changes. It looked like that we were just left in a place where there is no hope, but today it changes because hope has entered this room. Because if you can get a hope inside you, then you will bring hope to this city. Because this city will become a city of refuge. It'll become a place where it's safe to live. Because CCE is taking its place in the kingdom of God, in this new era. And I just pray, Father, that dreams and visions will be released again. Destinies will be released again in every single person in this place today. Every single person. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare this new era. This new era. This new era. That God will use your voice for this new era. That you'll be a man heard above the crowds in this new era. That you will be more visible than you've ever been before in this new era. That you'll step out of the shadows of people you've admired all your life, because now you're to create a shadow for others to come and stand in. In this new era. We declare in this new era that, as Lizzie said this morning, the past does not define our future. I want you, wherever you live, when you go home today, I want you to draw an imaginary line in your carpet, your floor, your bathroom, your toilet, wherever it is you feel comfortable, and you draw the line. And you say, today I'm stepping into this new era. And everything that defined me here will no longer define me here. Because it's the promises of God that will define me. Yes. That's not an arrogant statement. That's what humanity is crying out for. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're done.
Okay.